Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Hey everybody, I'm John Cena.
Hey, it's professional wrestler Colt Boom Boom Cabana.
Hey, I'm Double J, Jeff here.
This is Rich Swann.
Matt Riddle, the King of Rose.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Do it, bro.
Support Ollie. Support Luke. Support WrestleTalk.
Support WrestleTalk. Home of Luke Owen. Whatever WrestleTalk is and whoever Luke Owen is. Quote the Raven. Nevermore.
WrestleTalk Rumble. Now and live.
Hello and welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Mr. Davis and I'm joined by my WrestleJammier foe for this weekend, night two. It's all on the line, the hairline, because my hair is going up against Luke Owen's points for WrestleJammier night two. Luke Owen.
Hello, hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you? Threw me off again with your intro. I actually forgot how to do mine. I had the day off yesterday for the bank holiday, and honestly, it's thrown my entire week out of whack. I woke up this morning thinking, like, I've got nothing to do this morning. And then, like, I was like, oh, no, I've got to watch Raw because it's Tuesday.
Yeah, well, get ready for all the off-wacky stuff because it's WrestleMania week. Woohoo. Wah, 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 wah. We're not going to get to sleep for 4 days. But I'm ashamed that you didn't do the full intro because how the devil are you? You usually let me answer, even though I explicitly told you, don't ask me how I'm doing. It's all the same right now.
Do you want me to tear it up?
Yeah. Do it again.
Hello, Swap Nation, and a hello to you, Mr. Davis. How the devil are you?
I'm good. I want to hear what you thought of Godzilla versus King Kong.
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, we watched it last night as the end of bank holiday treat. We had that. We had a leftover takeaway curry, and then we had Godzilla versus Kong on TV that I've actually been bullied for online quite recently.
Is it the old TV?
Is the TV I've had for the last 15 years.
Look. So some things are bullying. Other things are just like, that's your fault.
Yeah.
That's your fault for having such a bad TV.
Maybe even 16 years now. It's been a long time.
You're an adult. You've got a big boy house now. You need a proper TV.
It's not even my TV. It's my brother's TV. But like, my brother doesn't need a TV. So I just took it, like, essentially just took it off him.
If you haven't seen it, folks, it's a TV that's border is cumulatively larger than the actual screen part.
It is first generation widescreen TV, like flat screen TV. State of the art when it came out, because if you had the right cables, you could get Freeview channels on it. So like it was proper state of the art when it was released. It's got two HDMI ports. It's got SCART. It has got AV, like additional to bit. So you could, if I wanted to get like an old sound bar, then I could actually get like really decent hi-fi sounds with it, because I can, there's plenty of areas for me to plug cables into. Also very, very heavy. Can't be wall mounted because it's got a base. Very, very heavy.
But how was Godzilla versus King Kong?
It was like watching a cinema in my own home, is what I would say. And I loved it. I had a brilliant time with it. It was so much fun. It is wonderfully silly. Like, so silly. Like, it's
what kind of silly? Because okay, there are different kinds of silly.
Okay, so here is, and this is no spoilers for the movie anyway, because this is brought up within the first 3 minutes of the movie. Like, this is like the central plot of the movie, is that some people go and see a scientist who whose brother had come up with the theory of Hollow Earth. And they are going to go find Hollow Earth, right? And Hollow Earth is an Earth that is actually beneath our own Earth. So that and that is where the Titans have come from, right? And this movie, wonderfully so brazen, just says it and just expects you to get on board. Like, there's no science, there's no, like, backstory to it. Some person...
It was set up in the last Godzilla movie.
Barely. Like, but this is just like, and now we're going to go, right?
That's how,
like,
they restarted Godzilla. They reset him underneath the Earth.
And this movie just expects you to know that. And it's just like, cool, that. Right. It's just like, cool, we're off we go then. It is akin to, I suppose, in a way, going to see Endgame without having seen any previous MCU movies. However, like, I know Endgame, I've done this with Infinity War. I watched Infinity War with my dad, who hadn't really seen, or if he had seen, didn't know that he'd seen any of the previous MCU movies, but was quite easily, quite happily went along with it, because he was just like, yeah, cool. That's the bad guy. They're after these stones. I get it. What more do I need to know? And I'm like,
well, he was superhero entertained.
I mean, in fairness, Dad, what more do you need to know? That's the lad. He wants the stones. The good guys are trying to stop him from getting them. That's all. That is everything to know.
I got it. You put the thing in the gimbal. You put the thing in the gimbal. Yeah.
Yeah. And away
I've done this before.
Exactly. He's got the thing. He's got two of them already. If he gets all of them, bad things will happen. Yeah, you got it. That's pretty much it. So yes, the movie is quite brazen in just like, oh yeah, it's a thing. It's just, you know, it's an Earth beneath our own Earth. Do you want to go? Like, we can't go because it's impossible for us to go there, but we think we can go. Should we go? Yeah, okay, let's go. And like, it is, and then there's just like lots of like beautiful like 50s, 60s kitsch sci-fi ideas and stuff, which I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed. And then monsters fight, and it's awesome. I would say if you are not into Kong, then you may not enjoy the movie as much, because it is way more a Kong movie than it is a Godzilla movie. Godzilla is in the movie, I think, probably cumulatively 25, 30 minutes, maybe.
Amount of Godzilla. That's more than the Godzilla movie.
Well, I know, right? Yeah, so like for a two-hour film, my wife thought it was too long, but I think my wife thinks any movie that is 2 hours long, or more than 90 minutes, is too long. And then I told her about Adam Wingard's comments that he goes, oh yeah, there was like the first cut we did was 5 hours long, and I think that's the perfect movie. And my wife was like,
oh,
we've got to
Zack Snyder this.
My wife was like, we've got to stop these madmen who seem to think that the only way to do a movie is for it to be 5 hours long. She's like, an assembly cut is not a version of a movie. We can't all just watch assembly cuts of things.
That's where all the good Hollow Earth stuff was.
That's what I said. I said, I bet you in that version of the movie, they do way more setup of Hollow Earth.
So for me, there is a range of this sort of legendary monster universe. You've got Godzilla. I thought Gareth Edwards' Godzilla was incredible at one end, along with Kong Skull Island. I thought they were both fantastic. And then there's the other end, which is Godzilla King of Monsters, which I thought was abysmal. Where does it rank? In this,
I think you are going to be leaning more towards the King of the Monsters side. It is more King
of
the Monsters.
But it's Wingard.
Well, of course, yeah. What are you expecting from Wingard? Like, of course, it's going to be more leaning towards that side of things. It's not
the guest.
Yeah, I know. And look at that movie. That was like a throwback to like 80s action movies.
Yeah, but at least it was coherent.
Well, yeah, and you know, in fairness, so's this. Like, pretty much, it's coherent. I followed along with it. There's some other wacky subplots in there. But like, once the monster action kicks in, like, it's so much fun. Like, it's really, really fun. But if you're not into that, like my wife, she was like, I saw the monkey hit the lizard, and then they just kept hitting each other. And there's only so much you can watch them hit each other. And I was like, strong disagree.
Mm-hmm. So who won?
Well, I'm not going to spoil that. Like, I'm not going to give away the results. I mean, we'll give away the results of Roar if you haven't seen it, but I won't give away the result of Godzilla versus King Kong.
I will watch it. I'm excited to watch it, especially when I found out it was Wingard directing. I don't know how that passed me by for so long. But yeah, it's hard to fit in when my lady partner is the same. She doesn't want to see two giant CGI creatures hit each other for 45 minutes. Whereas I'm okay with that, providing it's got the adequate amount of character work done beforehand. King of the Monsters.
Yeah, I'm afraid. It doesn't.
You're shaking your head.
It doesn't quite have that bit. Like, it's got it's got the monster fighting stuff that you enjoyed from Kong Skull Island, but it does not have, like, you know, like that wonderful
I didn't enjoy the Kong Skull Island stuff. I thought it was a much better film when it was before all the fighting.
Before when it was all the character,
really long
the character
fighting at the
stuff.
End.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, then it's... I don't think you're going to get massively along with it, I'm afraid.
We should probably do a speedy outro.
We're going to have to, I'm afraid, mate, because it's 3 minutes before we go live. But we haven't even got into the show yet. So here's Raw. Wasn't very good. Review.
It looks like we're going to have some new champions in WWE everywhere, apparently. Everywhere. But particularly on Raw, with Drew McIntyre is reportedly the favorite to beat Bobby Lashley, and Rhea Ripley currently is the favorite to beat Asuka. We'll be talking about that because on the go-home episode for WrestleMania, we couldn't come up with another title. Unless we wanted to do worst go-home Raw ever again, which I feel like we do every year. I'm Mr. Davis. I'm joined by Lukewarm Lou Cohen. Before he says a single word, this stream is brought to you by Beer 52. The beer is back, baby, for WrestleMania week. They're going to help us get through because I can't do another episode like last night's Raw without this sweet, sweet nectar. Mwah! Go over to beer52.com/WrestleTalk, UK viewers only, to get a free case of 8 craft beers.
Sorry, how many?
8.
8? Crikey. You could have 4 on night 1 and 4 on night 2. Get them in now. If you are one of our UK viewers, order it now so it gets in time for WrestleMania, nights 1 and us.
Yeah, so this episode of Raw. We'll do the full play-by-play shortly. But bookies odds currently?
Yeah.
Everyone's changing hands.
So according to the betting odds, which of course we can't take a lot of, this is not really reports. It's not really speculation. It's just the current betting odds of things. You got to wait till the smart money comes in. But going by what the current betting odds are at the moment, no champions are going to retain at WrestleMania. So that means AJ and Omos win the tag belts. And you call him Uha Nation, then what a mark I am. Apollo Crews wins the IC belt. Sheamus wins the United States Championship. This is actually probably a good test to find out if I know who the champions are and if they're defending their belts. Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler will lose their titles to whomever wins the Fatal 5-Way. Bianca Belair's SmackDown. Rhea wins the Raw Women's Championship. Drew wins the WWE Championship. And Edge wins the Bluniversal Championship. Have I missed anything?
I think that's everything.
Who are the SmackDown tag champs?
Well, that match is taking place on SmackDown.
Yeah, but who are they? Is it Ziggler and Rude? Are they still the champs?
I think it's Ziggler and Rude. Yeah. I cannot remember this.
No, it is. It is over the weekend. There was a news story on WrestleTalk.com that was about Dolph Ziggler said that he thought he was going to be fired after this Raw segment. He thought, I was going to lose my job. And I thought to myself, I was like, oh man, like it's a shame because he hasn't really done much recently, has he? And then about an hour later, I thought to myself, oh no, wait, no, he's one half of the tag team champions. I just constantly forget that he is.
Yeah, well, there you go. It is. It's been confirmed. Yep. Rude and Ziggler. Look, okay, this is... I am so uninspired by Raw's side of things for WrestleMania. And yeah. There's a part of me that's like, well, you know what? It's this bad right now. Like this whole Bobby Lashley era that we were all very excited for after Elimination Chamber and Fastlane has been a dud because it was never about getting Bobby Lashley or the Hurt Business over, which is something we were all very into. It was about getting Drew McIntyre cheered in front of live audiences coming back for the first time in over a year. Also a worthy venture, because we love Drew and we want him to be cheered. But I think in this moment, go with the momentum, make a bigger star out of Bobby. So, but like that's past now. The Hurt Business aren't a thing. Baron Corbin, King Corbin's with them. So, you know what? Give the belt to Drew, give the belt to Rhea Ripley, because I'm so uninspired by the current pre-WrestleMania product. Sure, why not change the titles? But that's not what WrestleMania is meant to be about. It's meant to be about, oh, I'm behind the challengers. I can't wait to see them overthrow, enter big evil heel champion here.
Yeah, I mean, the Raw Women's Championship in particular, like, it's a proper uninspiring, like, situation we find ourselves in, because the plan was Charlotte versus Asuka, then that got changed to Charlotte versus Lacey, then that got changed back to Charlotte versus Asuka, then that got changed to Charlotte versus Rhea versus Asuka, and then that's now just been changed to... So, like, as Sean put it on Fightful when he was talking about this, this wasn't plan B, this wasn't plan C. It was plan D. It was plan D or E that we're on for the Raw Women's Championship in all of this. And really, it's all depending on the fact that Charlotte isn't around. So they didn't really know what else to do. So if Charlotte's not there, we don't know what else to do with it, what we're going to do with the belt. So we've had this now, a two-week feud. For WrestleMania, a two-week feud between Asuka and Rhea Ripley. Like, going by this show, I would not have thought that WrestleMania was coming this Sunday and, like, they're fighting for the title this Sunday. Because last week, it was just a contract signing. And then this week, how can they possibly coexist? So we had to try and do, I don't know, what, like, a month's worth of story in 2 weeks. And it did not. Like, no one cares. There's no momentum behind Rhea Ripley because there was no plans to debut her yet. She was meant to debut after WrestleMania. So this is just thrown together plans at the last minute. And the Drew one really annoys me, actually, because this should be like a really awesome moment, right? This should be Drew McIntyre getting back that WWE Championship. Granted, it's the third time he will be the WWE Champion because we had that Randy Orton thing last year. But, like, they just decided, oh, no, Bobby's too cool. Bobby's getting too over with the Hurt Business. So we better cut the legs out from under that in case he gets over enough that people might get into him. And we want other people. We want people to just be into this other guy instead, as opposed to maybe being into both of them. And what we ended up with is, as you quite rightly put in your Raw review today, a proper mid-card feud now. Like, this doesn't feel like the main event of WrestleMania. This feels like a mid-card feud from a couple of years ago.
Should we just briefly go through the angles, the big go-home WrestleMania angles to build these two big title changes? So Drew McIntyre came out at the start of the show. He cut a promo in the ring, but a very good promo. Like, one of the painful things is that all the wrestlers on this show are very talented. They're fantastic in the ring, where they let their wrestling do most of the work for them. But they are trying so hard to get this stuff over and to make it resonate with the audience. And Drew comes out here, cuts a really sensitive promo about how when his mother was going through chemotherapy and she looked at him and she was like, no, this is your dream. You should do this. And he chokes up. And I don't think those were crocodile tears. Like, he's such a genuine guy. So then, you know, Bobby comes out. He interrupts him, and then Baron Corbin comes out. What is their relationship now? Baron isn't part of the Hurt Business.
No. So MVP quite emphatically said on Twitter, he's not part of the Hurt Business. But I think Bobby Lashley is just the Hurt Business unto himself. So I think it is like they were putting over commentary that he is the mercenary that answered the call by Bobbles a few weeks back of like, who can take out Drew McIntyre and they'll get their shots at WrestleMania instead.
Yeah, because it wasn't Braun Strowman. It wasn't Ricochet. It wasn't Ali, it wasn't any of the geeks in the locker room.
They've got other WrestleMania feuds. They can't do two of them. Like, you can't have two matches at WrestleMania.
Why can't it be Goldberg? I'd actually want Goldberg in this match. Goldberg versus Bobby versus Drew. I can't believe I'm saying this. Yes! Over what we've currently got. Anyway, they come out, blah, blah, blah. We're going to have a main event later. And
He's still a king, by the way. It's been nearly 2 years since King of the Ring, and he's still doing the King Corbin gimmick. Hasn't got the crown or anything. Hasn't got the dildo that he carries around with him. But he is still King Corbin. Okay, I'm going to steal this from Denise Salcedo, but I completely agree with it. He's the Reginald of the men's division.
Oh, that's unfair.
Why is that unfair? Reginald has absolutely should be nowhere near the women's division, but he is, like in the women's tag title picture, but he is. Baron Corbin should not be near this WWE title picture, but he is. He's the Reginald of the men's division.
I suppose so. But the main event of this episode, the go-home show for WrestleMania, the last thing that Raw's going to have. SmackDown's pre-taped, by the way, this Friday. I didn't know that. I thought it would be live, but everything's reportedly in the cam for that. Bobby's watching on from a stupid angle at backstage. MVP's on commentary. Drew and Baron actually have, I thought, a pretty good match. Like, this is amongst the best matches Corbin's going to have, up there with that Chad Gable King of the Ring series of matches they had too. But despite that, MVP passes Corbin the cane. It's gonna be Kane. It was like a walking stick Kane. And he goes to hit Drew to cheat to take Drew out of the WrestleMania match. Claymore, 1, 2, 3. Bobby comes out. And I'm like, oh man, there's a minute left. Is this it? And yeah, that was. They both just stared at each other.
I actually preferred it, although it was silly because they do just stare at each other for a minute. Camera cut, camera cut, camera cut, camera cut. It was better than the tug of war thing. It was better than tug of war. And like, that's the benchmark, right? Like, that's the benchmark of terrible, is the tug of war between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns. So if it's not as bad as tug of war or worse than tug of war, what a win. An absolute, like, storming win for WWE there, because it wasn't as bad as it has been previously. So this got, for me, is a big thumbs up.
It was just boring.
It wasn't actively rubbish. I'll take boring over actively rubbish.
Always. I don't think that's controversial to say. And the other big singles title go-home angle was Asuka teaming with Rhea Ripley. How will they coexist against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler? We might have actually had
an answer, because Not Renee interviewed Rhea Ripley before this match, and she said, and I quote, "How will you coexist?" So, like, even Not Renee was wondering how they were going to coexist. Answer was, they didn't.
Not Renee's work on this show was, and I don't think it's her. It's the way she's produced and told to act.
Yeah.
Was abysmal.
I miss Charlie. I miss Charlie Caruso.
I miss Mean Charlie. Come on, Kathy Kelly. Save us. You're our only hope. But Asuka and Rhea Ripley teamed together against Jackson Baszler, and they sort of didn't cooperate from the offset. Asuka got a hot tag after Ripley was worked over. Rhea Ripley laid out Asuka outside, threw her back in. Shayna got the pin to win. So I thought, like, oh, Ripley was worked over for the majority. Asuka took the pin. This is how you build the singles match.
Yeah, by having the tag champions pin the women's champion. And she's not facing Asuka for the belts on Sunday. Asuka got pinned again, by the way.
Asuka is what Shelton Benjamin... Asuka and the Raw women's title is what Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander were to the Hurt Business in Vince McMahon's eyes. We all love the idea of it. We're all behind it. I think everyone is. But he's just looking at his watch, waiting for the moment he can switch it onto something he wants to do. And the other thing was, last week, the Thunderdome audience, which are controlled by WWE, definitely cheered Ripley. But here, she was a heel. So she turned heel 2 weeks into her debut?
Yeah, because I think the report was that she was going to debut as a heel. And then, so they debuted...
Well, then debut as a heel.
Well, yeah, I know, but plans changed. We're on plan E at the moment, so your plans had to change. And the story that they have told is that she came in as a babyface and then turned heel on Asuka.
Why not just have her debut turning heel on Asuka?
Well, because where's the story, Ollie? I'm going to Pritchard this right now. Where's the story, Ollie?
She felt shortchanged by her loss last year to Charlotte. This is WrestleMania season. This is where she comes up. She wants to wipe the slate clean from her loss at WrestleMania 36. Dude, I'm going to do it. And I don't care. And I don't care how I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it my way this time. Have her write Charlotte off TV.
Dude, do you know who came second in the Royal Rumble? It was Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley literally was the runner-up of the Royal Rumble. She was like the Iron Woman. She had like an amazing performance in the Royal Rumble where she was like eliminating people left, right, and center. Mm. There is an emotional crux that they possibly could have used. They've never mentioned that. Never mentioned the fact, which then raised the question, well, what was the point of the Rumble then? What was the point of giving her that big run in the Rumble if you were going to do literally nothing to capitalize on it?
Heat. For the marks. That'll shut them up. Oh, shut them up if we give them a little win there. So yeah, those are the two big singles matches. Just so the what championships might change hands. The tag team championships, they got a 3-minute match. And The Fiend and Bliss versus Randy Orton, probably the other most high-profile feud on Raw, got a video package.
Yeah, and Sheamus versus Riddle, which has also just been thrown together at the last minute, got a bit of an angle. This show, by the way, I wrote in my notes here, is going to have a terrible third hour viewership. Terrible third hour. Like, no one's sticking around for Drew versus Corbin. Like, it's going to have a
Corbin
dreadful
brings
third
in
hour.
The views.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Well, let's see what our wonderful viewers thought about this episode. Remember, get your hyper chats into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. Anthony Velasquez: I'm sure WrestleMania will be a good pay-per-view, but this build to Mania this year has been awful. Also, really bad episode of Raw or the go-home show. Just shows how lazy the creative process is in WWE.
Yeah, I mean, one of the things we've always said about the WWE, though, is when the build has been terrible, the shows are usually really good. So there's every chance this could be an amazing WrestleMania. And actually, it probably will be a really good WrestleMania.
The Portuguese Mr. Davis. Hola. This episode was just meh. For a go, I think it was more than meh. I think it was 3 hours of tedium. For a go-home episode, expected a lot more. Luke?
Yes, mate? This company.
This is the worst build to a WrestleMania I've ever witnessed. However, I'm going to watch it because I love you guys, especially Mr. Davis. Thank you, Portuguese me. Matt Field, I usually try to watch Raw so I can at least understand what you guys are talking about in news/life review. But this week, I just could not be arsed. Doesn't that say something about how bad the build for Mania has been? Can't wait to see a bold Mr. Davis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, he's going to be so bold all over.
Bold. It's written bold here. Know, he wants me to win.
I'm coming for all of you. All of you.
Do you think this is one of the worst WrestleMania builds?
Because I don't think you can give... You got a discount last year. Because last year, like, you know, that was like plans changing very much at the last minute and everyone was just sort of scrambling. It'll be a fascinating documentary in years to come. I don't know, though. Is this one of the worst builds? Like, it feels... It's lackluster. I will certainly say that. And Raw has been really bad this year. Really, really bad this year. Unwatchably bad at times. But I think a lot of it is lackluster more than anything. And it's frustrating because it feels that I think nothing matters. It doesn't feel like anything matters on the show. So yeah, maybe like from that same, yeah, maybe it is. But it's one of the worst.
Brian Gallagher, I wanted to watch wrestling last night, but can't bring myself to watch Raw anymore. So I watched New Japan Sakura Genesis instead. I think I found my new Monday Night Wrestling fix. Well, they're not going to be putting on a pay-per-view every Sunday night. But maybe Dark Elevation could do that for you. Dave Donaldson, another boring Raw. Does WWE overly rely on their excellent video editing team to make their feuds make sense at the pay-per-view? Yes. I do. I'm looking forward to WrestleMania, but not through anything WWE has showed me. They have the best women's division, but you wouldn't know it watching TV.
Oh, isn't that the truth? And by the way, like, he's right about the video department, because I'm actually kind of like, I was into the Fiend Randy Orton video package. I was like, oh, this is a cool feud.
Bacon Rasher. Hi, lads. Another good episode of Dark Elevation this week. Sorry you had to watch a terrible Raw again. I record it every week, see a review, and delete. I'm booked off work for Mania. I'm most looking forward to your watch-alongs to get me through it. Jam that jam. Thank you, Bacon Rasher. Nate S. OMG, I forgot all about the tug of war until the news today. Facepalm emoji. What's something you're always surprised to hear, remember about, actually happening as part of an angle? Deborah being The Rock's manager.
I was going to say that, yeah.
in their feud with Stone Cold.
Yeah, the WrestleMania X7 main event, thought by men to be one of the greatest WrestleMania, like the greatest end to one of the greatest WrestleMania of all time. And the bit that everyone forgets is like, oh yeah, there was that 2-week period where Deborah was The Rock's manager and it made no sense. Well, and it was not needed.
I tell you what, for bonus points, go back and watch Becky Lynch versus Ronda Rousey versus Charlotte Flair's feud. There's a lot of stuff that happens. Becky got suspended for no reason, arrested. Charlotte Flair was added. There was the river dance handcuff fight.
Oh, yeah. It was a bonkers, bonkers feud. Becky Lynch apologized.
The Jam one, Bull Dolly. That's not the right name. This was such a boring Raw. I actually fell asleep halfway through it. Can't wait to see Bull Dolly, though. He'd be like bandana wearing Vince during ECW. Just if this is your first time hearing about this, my hair is on the line this Sunday on night 2 of Wrestle Jamia, our WrestleMania live reaction show against Luke. But it's our predictions tomorrow. And I've got jam in this hair. A hair full of plans.
He's got plans. What do you mean you've got plans?
James Hanley, I will admit that I only keep up with Raw because of the Schadenfreude. Everyone familiar what Schadenfreude is?
It's a great
The Germans have a word. The Germans have a word for the delight they take in someone else's misfortune. That's a culture I respect. But I think Adam's video on Roman Reigns sums up what's happening currently. It's the Hulk Hogan problem. Drew is the chosen one right now, and he will win because he is all that matters.
Yeah, okay. I think you might be right there. They built a monster for Drew to overcome, but they did it with, you know, 4 weeks out before Mania. So it doesn't really feel like we've already had a monster on top. We've just had a lad. And that's a shame. It's a real, real shame. But, you know, who knows? Maybe WrestleMania will actually be awesome and we'll look back on this and be like, you know what? The build sucked, but the match was great and the show was great. And I went home happy. And we'll come to watch Raw next week and be like, it's a new era. Yes, it is. And all of this last 4 months will just feel like a bad dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully. Before we get in with the full play-by-play review, beer52.com/WrestleTalk UK viewers only, get yourself a free case of 8 craft beers to help you through WWE programming. It'll make it a little bit more fun. Luke is going to sample a beverage from this month's crate.
It's a Kevik IPA. So let's have a little.
It's a Belgium-themed box this month.
Oh, the smell is delightful. Just got a lovely whiff of it as I crack that open then.
One of the great things about Beer 52 is that they give you a magazine with tasting notes. So you are drinking the Kevik IPA tasting notes.
Oh.
High attenuation fermentation results in a dry but smooth brew. This beer packs in 4 grains, barley, oat, wheat, rye, and plenty of hops aroma from Azeka, Simcoe, and Sabro. It's a very hoppy, smooth drink.
It is smooth. Very, very smooth. But I'm very, very much enjoying it. It's lovely. Mm-mm-mm.
And you can rate the beers as they come through.
Which
create your own little... Yeah. Right, let's get on with beer, not beer 52. I just want to.
Oh, can
I don't want to talk about this Raw.
Do you want to read the magazine instead?
Let's just get absolutely trashed at 3 p.m. on a Tuesday afternoon rather than talk about this show. So, already talked about the opening segment with Drew being interrupted by Bobby and Baron. Anything to add?
Nope, just that King Corbin is still a king, apparently.
Then the first match was Xavier Woods versus AJ Styles. This is after Woods won via DQ last week when Amos got involved. And this went a minute, barely. AJ Styles got Woods in a calf crusher right away. Kofi Kingston threw a microphone at Amos. Amos chased him into the ring. Kofi got right in the ring. Why isn't the referee more involved? But the referee, the referee stopped Amos from getting in. And Woods rolled up AJ, Woods won. Who cares?
This was the feud I was the most into. It's the match I was most looking forward to at WrestleMania. And they've actually systematically like chipped away any enjoyment that I'm getting for this. Do you remember AJ's gimmick a few months ago was that, man, no one can beat him. Absolutely no one's beating him on Raw since he came over from the draft. He's under his win. Do you remember they kept bringing up his win-loss record? His win-loss record is impeccable since he came over to the draft. He is like no one can touch him. He feels like he's been beaten the last 3 weeks by the New Day. And probably because they're winning the tag belts this Sunday. So you can just keep beating them because it doesn't matter at the end of the day. They'll just win the belts. And you, because you're idiots, will forget that he just kept getting beaten by the New Day. He's got the belt now. You're all idiots. Just forget about it.
Just to clarify, because Luke is meant to be the baby face here. He's saying what WWE think you are.
Oh, yes.
Not what Luke thinks you are.
No, he thinks we're all. He thinks we're idiots.
Yeah. Came across personal.
Oh, so I do apologize.
Yeah,
I was getting into character. I was trying to be like the embodiment of WWE. Mm.
And before that, Matt Riddle did a promo on marijuana. Pretty much.
If you had told me that this was the same promo segment he'd done the week before with the New Day, which in itself was the same promo segment he'd done with the New Day the week before that, I would have believed you.
At least he remembered his lines. After that, we got Braun Strowman coming down to the ring.
Whoa. Don't skip over the most important part of this show. Bad Bunny's car arrived. It's integral to the feud.
Yeah. 1 week out. First time I've seen this car.
It's a Bugatti. It's a $3 million Bugatti.
A car's that much?
$3 million? Apparently this one was.
I guess a JPEG can be $69 million, so screw it. Yeah, a car can be worth three. Braun Strowman came out to a steel cage around the ring. I thought, oh my God, are they doing a steel cage handicap match? No, it was just for sort of to set the scene for the go-home promo. And Braun just cut the promo that WWE have given every other big man monster that they've tried to turn into a relatable babyface over the last 20 years. Vince McMahon will always tell you he can book a big man. He can't. He really, really can't. Not as a heel, not as a babyface. And this is his one trick for a babyface. Braun says, I've been bullied all my life because people say I'm stupid. And now I'm going to get revenge for all the people who were bullied by taking on Shane McMahon and beating him up this weekend. I'm like, well, Braun never turned face. The Braun that sticks in my mind is the one that headbutted Adam Pearce like a bully for no reason in November, and the one who admitted killing kids. Remember that time when he just tipped a treehouse over?
Yeah. And like, also, Shane never turned heel. Like, Shane came back as a babyface, and then just 1 week later was a heel. And they've never given a reason as to what. Like, why is Shane McMahon now this character? He became this character for no reason other than, well, we need Braun to have a foil. We need to him to have a bully. And what better person than the biggest star we have, Shane McMahon?
$500 on Cameo.
What about
anyway, Jackson Ryker and Elias came down and Braun beat them easily, pinned them both at the same time in a handicap match. And Shane said, because I was like, why did Shane let Braun choose the stipulation? He wasn't under any duress. There wasn't any stress to make him give up that choice. Usually that's the heel's domain unless they lose the right. And Shane got on the mic afterwards and said, you picked a good stipulation with a steel cage because that was a test to see how smart you really are. This makes no sense. Nobody's motivation makes sense. What is this for you?
He said, you picked a steel cage match, which favors you. I was like, yeah, it does. You're not acting like it does. But then he's got this line where he's like, you may be a man, but I'm a McMahon. And McMahon's always win. I've got a trick up my sleeve. So I'd imagined that Ryker and Elias will get involved at WrestleMania. And that's Shane's big plan, maybe. I don't know. But do you know what? At the end of the day, I also don't care. So I couldn't care less. Honestly, couldn't care less.
Oh, but what about the Bugatti?
The Bugatti I did care a lot about because it cost $3 million. And so to me, as a person, that means something because it cost an amount of money that I will never see in my life. So I really care about this car and the status of it and whatever happens to it. I don't know about, I mean, do you also feel the same way about this car?
I don't know. Maybe it's something in me when I see a man usually wearing sunglasses, getting out of a sports car, I usually think, well, they're a prick. I think that's a pretty natural reaction.
Oh, I don't know. I know. I see those people. I'm like, how relatable. Just how relatable that person is. It's aspirational is what it
sure.
is. I could be like that if I just got lucky enough. If I just had the talent, I could be that person.
Bad Bunny gets out of the car and I just thought, sure. And then Miz and Morrison vandalized the car with really weak looking paint.
Oh, they did not do a good job on this, did they?
this was working off. Paint. This is not shoot paint. You blow on this and it'll disappear.
Yeah, this was like Grand Theft Auto levels of like, you could easily just take this down to a paint shop and the cops will never find you again. It could easily come up. And they painted like, hey, hey, hop, hop on it. And then they attacked him. And like the downside to this is you also had to get Bad Bunny in there to act. And like, he can cut a promo, he can do a rap, but acting is not in his wheelhouse. And the acting portion was not good. But then the beatdown was actually pretty good. And then the promo he got later was pretty great.
Yeah, it was actually. The car. To make this work in any serious way, smash a windscreen like that, and that's the base level.
But like, would you say that cars are integral to the Bad Bunny character? Like, given Bad Bunny that we've seen on TV, would you say that cars are the essential, like that's the linchpin of his character's success?
No, but they haven't given me a character. Damien Priest and sunglasses. That's all I know about Bad Bunny. If he had the 24/7 title still and they made him lose it, that would be much better.
Oh, he can't lose it now. He handed it over to R-Truth, who hasn't been seen on TV since. But anyway, yeah, Miz and Morrison, I think, attacked him. The camera work was too awful for me to tell, but I'm pretty sure that Miz and Morrison attacked him.
And Adam Pearce chased them away. And Damien Priest comes up later like, oh, what's going on here, guys? I'm like, oh, my God. If you're going to do this, just have Priest be the one to make the save. Why is Pearce putting himself in everything? Then we got the Asuka and Rhea Ripley, Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler match. We've talked about that already. Shelton and Cedric threatened. Mm-hmm.
One other thing, I do apologize. It's kind of a note to bring up, but it did make me laugh. After that segment with Miz Morrison and Bad Bunny, they cut to the commentators and there's Thunderdome screens behind them. There was a lad yawning, like a proper big, like loud yawning behind Samoa Joe's head. And they're like, well, like, yeah. It really made me chuckle.
I feel his pain. Shelton and Cedric were threatening MVP backstage after the women's tag match. And then the staging of this was awful. Like, they were right up in MVP's face. They walked off because they've got a match against Lashley next. And then Not Renee stepped out from a foot away, who would have been there the entire time, and was like, What do you think that means for Bobby Lashley's match later? And then Bobby Lashley stepped in from presumably another foot off camera. Like, you were there the entire time? This doesn't even make sense. Why were you here?
It reminds
Adam
me
Pearce
of when
have
I
got there first.
It reminds me of when I used to do drama at GCSE level, and you would have to do, like, we used to do plays for audiences and stuff, but it was just a room. We didn't have a stage. We literally just had the floor, and like people would sit on the floor and then we'd do that. And you would try and light the area so much that you couldn't see the walls, because then that was like our offstage bits. And that is what a lot of this feels like. Like, Lashley just standing against a wall as much as possible so the lighting doesn't catch him. And hopefully the audience doesn't notice that he's there.
Well, they couldn't do this for this next segment because there were way too many people. Nia Jax, Shayna Baszler are walking away from their match. And there arrives all of the Raw and SmackDown people in the Fatal 4-Way this weekend, which are Lana and Naomi, Tamina, the Riot Squad.
No, but Tamina and who?
Wait. The Riot Squad, Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, Tamina and Natalia.
There it is. I was going to say, you literally did this in the news this morning. I wrote it down for you.
Oh my God. This freaking... The WWE right now just falls out of my head as soon as I read it. The rumor is, because WWE leaked it themselves and then took it down, is that Carmella and Peyton Royce will be added. Billy Kay will be added as well. Kay showed up here and was like, here's my picture. She's funny. You know.
It is funny. She's great. But yeah, it's hard to care about this, particularly because, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler have been beating Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke since October. Like, they failed to capture the titles in October, failed again in November, failed again in December, failed again in January, failed again in March. Don't know how I'm supposed to care about them possibly going for them again in April.
Then we got Lashley versus Cedric Alexander. Cedric didn't even get an entrance. Shelton jumped Bobby a load before the bell. The referee somehow nodded for a match being called off. So the match goes on. Bobby dominates 95% of it, but Cedric does get a pretty cool comeback for like 45 seconds. I can only assume that's because Lashley likes him. And I think everyone in this feels bad for Shelton and Cedric because they deserve so much better. And they were a part of the Hurt Business.
Yeah, it really was. I don't know if you want to quickly leave and come back because your internet is starting to crap out a little bit. But I will just say my piece on this. Yeah, like it was. So, I mean, it's hardly like a report. It's hardly like because they've not been keeping it very secret. There he is. He's back again. You know, Shelton Benjamin was like proper annoyed about this on Twitter. And the report is that they didn't want to break up the Hurt Business as a group. Like they thought that they were better together. But Vince McMahon made the call and they were trying to convince McMahon not to break the team up. But it was had already made his mind up. So they got broken up. And I think that, yeah, I agree with you. I think that like Lash and MVP just really feel bad for them in all this. I feel bad for them in all of this. And we'll get to Ali in a minute as well, because I proper feel bad for him at the moment.
Bobby beat them both, really. It was pretty much a handicap match. Bobby beat them easy. And yeah, huge spine buster. Bobby looked great, but I've written here like this episode is so crap in my notes. Then we got the promo video package for Randy versus The Fiend and Bliss. And it's just like a 3-minute video package. No go-home angle, no interviews, no nothing. But, you know, considering this show, maybe that's a good thing.
Dude, that means it's likely a straight match. There's no gimmick involved. It is just Orton versus Fiend. There's no Firefly Funhouse, which, I mean, I would have put money on. Good money, in fact, that it would have been a Firefly Funhouse match. But yeah, it looks like it's just a straight up match.
I think the reason being is because they want to do a Fiend entrance in front of fans.
You reckon? Oh, yeah, I mean, I suppose makes sense. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense.
Do a big entrance, first time fans are back live in the arena. But maybe it will become a cinematic match following that. I can only hope. Bad Bunny then came down with Damian Priest into the ring. He cut a good promo. Then he did sort of it all again in Portuguese, I imagine. I don't know what he said there. It was well delivered. And this is where they challenged Miz and Morrison to a tag match. Previously, it was a singles. Don't know why they didn't just make it a tag match from the start. Miz and Morrison accepted on the Tron. My main bugbear with this, like, yeah, Bad Bunny was good. I wasn't blown away, to be honest, but everyone else seems to have enjoyed it tremendously, is that, and I'm pretty sure it's WWE giving him this again. The only favorites people are allowed to have are people from 20 years ago.
I hate this so much. This winds me
up. WWE in their promos, whenever they get a celebrity or someone coming back in, it's always Rock, Stone Cold, The Undertaker, John Cena, maybe. And it's like, but you're playing to an audience who have already aged. Why aren't you also playing to that young audience who think Roman Reigns, AJ Styles, Daniel Bryan, they're the coolest people around? Surely, like, if Bad Bunny is a fan of the current product, that's what you want, right? You want Bad Bunny's fans to come in and say, oh, Bad Bunny watches this every Monday. I'm going to check it out. This promo is, no. Bad Bunny watched it 20 years ago. And he watches it now, but it's nowhere near as good. He still remembers the fun times. So you got to put over your current roster more.
Yeah, you'd have thought that he could have named some current members. Like, oh, I don't know, Damian Priest, who stood next to him. Like, put him over. Like, you can do both. You could be like, man, when I was a kid, it was Rock, it was Austin, it was The Undertaker, it was Ric Flair, it was Hulk Hogan, blah, 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 blah. But now, if you've seen the talent that's here today, it's AJ Styles, it's this, it's that. It's people like Damian Priest. And like, put him over, as opposed to being like, man, 20 years ago, wrestling was so cool. And now it's not, but I'm here and Miz and Morrison attacked me and they hurt my car. So I guess we're having a match at Mania now.
And then finally, we got Riddle versus Ali, because we've already spoken about the Corbin versus McIntyre main event. Sheamus spoke to Ali backstage. They're trying to team up against Riddle, but Riddle just scoots through them on his scooter. Sheamus was out on commentary for the actual match. Really decent match. Riddle is amazing. Ali is amazing. Sheamus is on the best run of his career right now. Really good action back and forth like this. There was a really nice Riddle just hooked the leg for a pin and Ali somehow turned that into almost a triangle choke. But Riddle won with Bro Derek and right back to the crappy comedy.
Yeah. What do you make of his new entrance? I know a lot of people are talking about it. They debuted it last week with the butterflies coming out of his feet.
Is it butterflies or is it birds?
I mean, well, either way, birds or butterflies, how do you feel about it?
So this is augmented reality. When he kicks off his flip-flops, everyone goes, all the birds fly out of the graphics on screen.
Surely.
I think it's ridiculous.
Surely it should be scooters, right? Because that's his character, is that he rides a scooter. So, like, loads of scooters should fly out of his feet in augmented reality. Like, because what have birds got to do with the Riddle character? I suppose they fly high. Yeah, yeah, I suppose they are. They do fly high in the sky. Other thing to make note on the Bad Bunny thing as well, because you asked why it wasn't a tag match initially. The report is Priest and Morrison were injured. So the plan B was to make it a singles match, but I guess both of them have been cleared now, so they've gone back to it being a tag match.
Well, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
But you wanted to say something about Ali.
I just feel bad for Ali. So the report a couple of weeks ago, while you were off, was that Ali had been told, like, he's injured at the moment. He's dealing with an injury. But he was told that if you can work through the injury, we're going to have a big storyline for Retribution going into WrestleMania. And then we'll do the big breakup of Retribution at WrestleMania. And that's it. So if you could just work through your injury, that'd be really great for us. And then they instead did the breakup on the pre-show of Fastlane, and absolutely no one has remembered it. Now everyone has forgotten about it. And then Ali has been doing interviews recently where he has said that it was an interview with the Metro where he said that he thought it was going to be him versus Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania, because that's the story that WWE were telling, which was that, like, Retribution had targeted New Day because of Kofi Kingston stealing his spot a couple of years ago, leading in Kofi Mania. So the story was there. So I'm putting pieces together here based on that report and based on Ali's own words here, that he had been told, we're going to do a big storyline between you and Kofi Kingston at WrestleMania. That'll be the big blow-off match. You'll get your WrestleMania moment, and then we'll break up Retribution. And then they thought, actually, we don't really care about Retribution or you. So we're just going to break you up on Fastlane and never mention the group again. And then Ali posted up on Twitter, and this is where I started to feel really bad for him, posted up on Twitter being like, and it's all my fault. I'm like, but is it though? Is it your fault? Is it your fault that you worked through an injury and because WWE told you you were going to get a cool storyline and then you didn't? Because I don't think that is your fault. If anything, I think you tried really, really hard to get Retribution over. I think you tried above and beyond to get that group over. And the only thing you got was diddly dick. You just got a slap in the face by this company. So I just feel really bad for him at the moment because he's just an afterthought. And he deserves way more than that because he's an incredible wrestler. And this company doesn't care about some members of the talent. And I think that sucks.
Yeah, I think people like that are essentially in an abusive relationship with their employer. And with those sorts of environments, you blame yourself after a while, even though it's nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
Yeah, utterly depressing. An utterly depressing experience watching WWE right now. This was a terrible episode of Raw. I gave it a 1 out of 5 on my rating. It wasn't as bad as last week in terms of, like, it didn't do anything like break up the Hurt Business or bring Baron Corbin over. But it was just, this is the WrestleMania Go Home show. And it was this lackluster. Back-to-back 1 out of 5s. 2 weeks out from Mania. Unforgivable.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. I don't think I'd have gone 1. I think I'd have probably gone 2 because I felt like last week's was worse. But actually, like, listening to your take and, like, my own sort of gripes I had with this, maybe it was a 1 of 5. But I do think we're out of step with the general consensus, because put this up on our community poll, and 41% thought it was a 3 out of 5 average show, 29% rating it poor, 23% rating it awful. It's quite telling, though. Rawsome, 5 out of 5, 3%, and 4 out of 5, 4%. So people thought it was either average or bad. But yeah, no one, there was last week, everyone was very much in step with us being like, it's a bad show. Whereas people this week thought it actually was a pretty okay show. And actually going through the comments, a lot of people were like, I don't know why you hate this show so much. It was actually fine.
Because it's the Mania Go Home show. Well, we'll get on to your hyper chats in just a few minutes. Remember, get them into wrestletalk.com/support. We'll read out every single one of them before the end of the show. But first, right now, thank you to our $25 a month or more pledger hammers on Patreon. Well, we're going to have our own little hall of fame right here. Thank you very much. The Kessel Run, DX Solo.
Superkick, Nick Mizesco.
Dustin the Professor Layton.
Wrestle Talk's personal ring announcer, Rodrigo Benitez.
He can last, Sean, for longer than you in the ring.
The Cleaner, Kenny Shah.
Luke's favorite fan, the one, the only, the awesome Bubba.
Ronald Coleman, baby.
No one names their kid this anymore. Larry.
Will always mark out for Ollie Landrum.
The blacksmith, Jason Smith.
And lastly, for this Hall of Fame class on the 6th of April 2021, Chris, the Cypriot Sensation Patro.
Thank you very much, everybody. Very quickly, Luke, what can they vote on right now?
Oh, can't they just? The poll for WrestleTalk Extra is now open. The suggestions are in from our $25 backers and currently leading the pack. It's Backlash 2000. 39% of the vote are currently voting for us to review that show next. WrestleMania 23 in second currently. I think they're with 14%. Oh, no. WrestleMania 28. So that's Rock Cena currently in second place, then followed by WrestleMania 23. So we may be in a period of time where a WrestleMania does not win an April vote, and it could be the boyhood dream has come true for us to review Backlash 2000.
A show that Luke has been petitioning for about 3 years to review. But now it's hyper chat time. Leon Quashy says, hot take. I expect this WrestleMania to be good. The crowd will be raucous and elevate the atmosphere. And we all know that the in-ring talent is there. But man, this booking, this build, Luke.
This company.
They're leaning on the returning crowd heavily. Oh, yeah, that's I was thinking that earlier. Company,
yeah,
I was thinking of that earlier today. Like, imagine any other sport whose whole or like movie whose whole thing would be, yeah, but come, because there's going to be people in the crowd. I get that it's COVID. I get that the pandemic's happened, but this is so, so lackluster.
Yeah, the build doesn't matter. WrestleMania is the end thing, right? So, like, it doesn't actually matter what matches are on the card. It doesn't matter what the builds to those matches are. You're coming for WrestleMania. You're buying your ticket for WrestleMania. And I think it's quite telling, pandemic or not, they haven't sold out. Like, there are still tickets available. And WWE themselves expected them to sell out quite quickly.
Colby Dennis, take away the terrible build from all the matches in place. Which match do you guys see from night one or two that will steal the show this weekend? Cesaro Rollins, I think, will be a terrific work rate match. But I'm really excited for Reigns, Bryan, and Edge.
Yeah, I think that's going to be really good. Riddle, Sheamus are going to have a pretty banging match going by like their previous on Raw and SmackDown. And actually, I think the New Day versus AJ and Omos is going to be a lot of fun. I think that's going to be a really, really good match.
Bishop Badass, love you guys so much. How do you manage to stay so positive during such a poor showing from WWE lately? Did you see our show last week? I've decided since they don't care anymore after Mania, I won't be watching anymore. Only NXT and AEW for me. Keep up the amazing work, you guys. Jam that jam. Stephen Guzman, good morning, fellas. Question, what's a WrestleMania result that you couldn't believe WWE actually did? Mine is basic, but I was rewatching WrestleMania 19, and holy S-word, they really had Booker T lose in one of the most uncomfortable storylines ever. Insane.
We recently reviewed it.
Mm-hmm. I would go for The Fiend beating, Bray Wyatt beating John Cena or Undertaker. OG Slapjack. Fun facts. Drew McIntyre has never faced anyone for the WWE title who won a match at WrestleMania 36.
So I guess Randy Orton. Did Randy Orton have a match at Mania last year? AJ lost. What did Randy Orton do at last year's Mania? Well, like, did Bobby lose to Aleister Black? I do not remember.
Oh my God, I forgot that was a match. Also, Daniel Bryan has been in a title match at every Mania in which he wrestled except one, which was his return at Mania 34. Also, this Raw was proper naff. Laura McKillar. Hello, Mr. Davis and Luke Owens. Which one could get a bigger pop at WrestleMania? Braun Strowman coming to the ring with a steam engine train or Randy Orton riding a mechanical snake? Jam that jam. For me, that's Strowman.
I'd love to see Randy Orton riding a big mechanical snake. Like, you know, the end of June, where he's just riding along the big thing. Like, that's what I want it to be.
Yeah, but trains go choo-choo.
They do indeed. And is that why you're into the car? Because they do go vroom vroom. And that car went vroom vroom.
Lucas Chapper. I'd bet good money that Rhea Ripley is just Rhea after Mania and she gets new lame music and gear. Also, do you guys think Finn Balor could be coming back to the main roster after Mania? I think Balor could come back. I think Cross, in my predictions, Cross gets the belt back.
I think that Balor staying there. Also, a lot of people are quite mad at us because, of course, Randy Orton faced Edge at last year's WrestleMania.
It's still happening. It's still going on.
No joke. That is not a gimmick. I legit forgot that was their Mania match. It was so long. How did I forget? So boring.
Suspense 813. This show made me, in my Ollie voice, not excited for WrestleMania. It's sad because I'm in Tampa. I watched that Bobby match. I just saw Cedric and Shelton Thanos vanish. P.S. That quote from last week was the opening to Ollie's WrestleMania 34 review.
Oh, okay. So
Spence, not excited for WrestleMania. Homer Star Fan 13, this year's build to WrestleMania has felt like an afterthought, and unlike last year, they can't use the pandemic as an excuse because they knew from the start what it would be like. The only match I'm invested in is the Universal title match. Yeah, I'd agree with that. Benny Boy 004, I was hoping for Billy having Peyton as a surprise partner on Saturday, but the news it's Carmella is sad. Some are speculating it'll be Carmella and Bayley. So no Iconics presence.
Yeah, Charles Berg. On the card at the moment.
Charles Berg. I'm so happy WWE took the time to build up the matches for WrestleMania. Most of the matches have at most 2 weeks of build. That's 14 days. That's loads of time. They really allowed these conflicts to simmer until they boiled over. Brian Zane blew up Ollie. Up. What?
What you think?
Did you ask him?
I don't think Zane was on my list. It wasn't me.
Kevin, Drew and Bobby had a better build for Backlash than Mania. To be fair, it was the greatest show, Backlash. Peter Mullins, honestly, I do not care about WrestleMania for the first time since getting into wrestling. In my group of wrestling mates, no one is really fussed about it. However, when I look at the card in isolation, it's awesome. Shows how fundamental a good build is. Bazo Banks, this build has been absolutely pitiful. What on paper looks like a possible top three Mania has the build of a freaking Backlash card.
Less of this Backlash. I will not have bad words put on the good name of Backlash.
This does not feel like Mania season whatsoever. Also, remember when Asuka was undefeated? Yeah, me neither. Malachi Masset. Hi, lads. How do you think the Fiend Orton match will work? Even though it looks increasingly like an in-ring match, I did think maybe it could be a Firefly Funhouse match, which starts, ends in the ring with various effects for live fans' thoughts.
Yeah, so what they do is like Orton and Fiend make their entrance and then they go side by side and then like lights cut out, they hide under the ring and then they do a Firefly Funhouse match for the audience and on screen and then like lights come back on and they're back into the ring. It's certainly a way to get the best of both worlds.
I'm going to hot tag to you.
Brendan Harris said, there's still time for Vince to come out before the Raw Women's Championship match and just announce Charlotte in it because, well, why not? Also, glad to see Splook on my screen. Looking good, brother. It does look a lot like me. Jay Gabriel, what's up, Luke Woman, Mr. Kawaii? I can say that I'm only excited for about three matches on the whole Mania card. Edge versus Daniel versus Roman, Rollins versus Cesaro, and Riddle versus Sheamus. Which matches are you most excited for?
Yeah, those top two that you mentioned.
Mm, yeah, and I am still into the tag match. Nossa J, hi guys, love the podcast and all that you are doing for the WrestleTalk channel. On a scale of 1 to 10, what is your most anticipated match for this year's WrestleMania?
Well, it's the Universal title match. And yeah, I'd say I'm like, for all time, if 10 was the most excited I've ever been about any match, a 6.
Nate S, guys, you can't have an actual WrestleMania match for the 24/7 title, even if it involves a big celebrity. If you do, who else is going to run in during the women's championship matches? Sadie 6969, hi guys, why didn't Miz and Co destroy Bad Bunny Studio? You know, the place where he makes his whopper tunes. Can't wait for the live streams this weekend. Also, Ollie, what would be the angle for Fiend Orton? Burn the Fiend again? Burn Orton again?
If the Fiend is the baby face, I'm not entirely sure. Have Randy RKO Bliss.
Yeah. I mean, that would be quite a killer little angle, actually. Stu, who do you think will get the biggest cheer and the biggest boo over WrestleMania weekend?
Biggest cheer, whoever comes out first.
That was going to be my answer, yeah.
Biggest boo. Edge when he wins.
Yeah, it could be, you know. I think that's a really good shout. I was going to say Corbin, probably. Like, maybe if Corbin comes out during the Lashley-Drew match, I think that could get some... Not heel heat, but like some go away heat, and that could draw some. Yeah, if Edge wins, I don't know if that will go over. Nicholas Lama, in your thoughts, what exactly are they missing? Is it the live audience? At some point, the pandemic cannot be an excuse for poor creative. I'd love your thoughts on what would be needed to light the fire under you. What you know that is needed.
Everything always comes down to this: characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Characters and the stories that those characters are in that engage an audience. Like, it's, and they've got everything in place. They've got they've got the greatest roster on the planet. They have got all the tools at their disposal. It's just, it's not working currently. Muse 6815, I can't believe the fact that WWE have made me uninterested in The Fiend. A year ago, he banished John Cena to the Shadow Realm, and now he's stuck in the eternal Randy Orton feud, just like Drew was. Nate S, WWE Creative has to be the best example of an oxymoron. Also, after Ollie loses this weekend, which he will, he'll probably weasel his way out of shaving his head by volunteering for the music vid punishment. I want the full Maki Ito song dance, not just the cosplay.
Good idea.
Well, we're not having that. I'll make sure. When Ollie Davis loses, and he will lose, that hair is coming off. There's no two ways about this. He's not weaseling his way out of this.
Got jam in this hair, and that jam's full of plans.
Marky Mark Kayfabe, a long-time listener, first-time Ultra Chatter. Today is my birthday, and what better way is there to celebrate than hanging out and commiserating about WWE with my favorite wrestling media personalities? Give me a yes, please, and everyone, get
no.
Rowdy. Get rowdy in the chats. Thank you very, very much. Zachary Jenkins, Mr. Davis, can you just review AEW and NXT and maybe Impact? Because I genuinely feel bad for you reviewing this terrible show. Also, thank you for your condolences last week. It meant a lot to me. Luke, can I get a four? Ford Hood, let me hear you one time. It's an Undertaker reference from Undertaker WrestleMania 17. Go listen to the Attitude Era podcast. The AdNap 2, hi guys, did you ever get the video I sent at the support email address? It's the video that I think it is. Yes, we did. I will talk about that in tomorrow's meeting. I was waiting until everyone was there so we could all watch it together. The Jam 1 Bald Ollie, give the people what they want. Smooth Ollie. Mega Mr. 46, I have found the truth, son of a botch, that done the explosion to injure Mr. Davis. It was Chopper Pete. Now, I did ask him. I did ask Chopper Pete.
It's Luke. It's no. Luke.
Not me. The Jam 1 Bald Ollie, I know who blew up Ollie. It has to be Megan because she's jealous of Ollie being happy. Jam that jam. Roar is boring. Hashtag smooth Ollie.
Don't say that name.
Bacon Rasher, hi again, lads. Mr. Davis, we cannot have these luscious locks leave that head of yours. The hair blends with the jacket so well. In addition, after Blampate and Splook, I hope that Denise does not create Fork Mr. Davis. Have a lovely day for the rest of the day, lads. Jam that jam. And lastly, Jared Zimmerman, Ollie, while you may be very cute, look on the bright side. Shaving may be a wonderful thing for you. Besides, when Luke had hair, he looked like a mix between a long-lost member of System of a Down, I never looked that cool, Gilbuff, and a kangaroo. Now you look like a handsome bugger. I wish I looked as cool as someone from System of a Down, though. They all look cool.
Look at this hair. This hair isn't going to go anywhere. It's the source of all my power, my cuteness, and my secrets. And I've got a plan. On tomorrow's WrestleMania predictions, all will become clear. Tell them what's coming up this week, Luke.
Coming up this week on the Wrestle Talk podcast, it is a stacked week. It's WrestleMania week. Of course, it's stacked. Tomorrow, we have got our WrestleMania 30, is it seven? Predictions on with myself, Ollie, Andy, Laurie, and Adam, because those three are going to be fighting over the championship, while me and this son of a botch, will be fighting over his hair and my points. And also, Pete and Chopper Pete and Tempest will be sitting down to do NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver I'm Yours live reactions. I'll be doing the same thing on Thursday as well. Also on that Thursday, Ollie and I will be reviewing AEW Dynamite. Then on Friday, Pete and Tempest will be reviewing NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver I'm Yours in full. They're going to be doing both nights as a big review in place of the magazine show. And then the poor buggers will also be reviewing SmackDown as well, which will have the Tag Team Championship and the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal, because in the evening, it's WrestleMania. We're doing live reactions to WrestleMania on Saturday and Sunday. Also on Sunday, we'll be reviewing Night 1 of WrestleMania. On Monday, we'll be reviewing Night 2 of WrestleMania. And on Monday nights, Raw After Mania live reactions. I hope you like watching us, because we're going to be on a lot. Please do, if you haven't already, subscribe to this channel, because we are nearing 50k. And when we do, it's looking like we're going to be doing a binge watch of the Attitude Era WrestleManias 14 through 17. Back to back. It's going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. I really thought Total Divas would do better. I also thought Ms. and Mrs. would do way better, because I thought people would troll us. Apparently, they want us to have a fun time. Who'd have thunk? I'm thrilled. Absolutely thrilled people want us to have a fun time. I thought they would vote something we didn't want to do.
Well, the next thing is the WrestleMania predictions tomorrow. All of your favorite WrestleTalk characters are going to be there. So subscribe right now and go to beer52.com/WrestleTalk to get your free case of 8 craft beers, UK viewers only.
How was your bank holiday weekend?
How are you? We've got 2 minutes before we go live.
Give me a snappy answer. Good. Great. Good. That's all I need.
Relax.
Good. Excellent. Glad you had a nice time. Friday off?
Oh, actually, we discovered a new part of Walthamstow called Hollow Ponds, which is nothing like the Hollow Earth.
Oh, for a second, I thought you were going to do a bit. We found it's a pond underneath the pond.
No.
And you have to go through a wormhole to get to it.
That's very nice.
Oh, good. Very nice. Well, I suppose we'll pretty get out of here then. Let's do a quick plug of what's coming up this week, because heckins, have you got some stuff coming up this week? Tomorrow, it's WrestleMania predictions. Thursday, it's the AEW review. Friday, NXT TakeOver Stand and Deliver review. Saturday, SmackDown review. Sunday, WrestleMania Night 1 review.
You can Monday, do this, buddy.
WrestleMania Night 2 review on the Monday. Tuesday, Raw After Mania. And if you think to yourself, God, I wish I could watch these two lads watch the shows live. Hey, you can do. The WrestleTalk podcast YouTube channel. We're going to have live stream reactions for NXT TakeOver Night 1 and 2 with Tempest and Pete. And we've got live reactions to WrestleMania Night 1, Night 2 with all of us. And the Raw After WrestleMania reactions with me. What will likely be a very bald Mr. Davis, because he's going to have a stripe down his head, because he's going to be losing his hair at WrestleJamia. Done? Cool? You good? Do you want to go?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. Cool. Yeah, right. Well, we'll see you tomorrow. It's WrestleMania 19 predictions. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Don't talk about knowing life.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.